Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today it is January 14th, 2022. On today's show, quick discussion about Jackson Dart, transfer quarterback from USC, who has explored three options, Oklahoma, TCU, and Ole Miss. So we'll talk about those situations and whether we could see Dart into the Big 12, coming to the Big 12 here as we begin the spring semester. That's coming up on today's show.
Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, Josh Neighbors here in Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today, once again, it is January 14th, 2022. It is a Friday. Hope you guys are having a good Friday. Hope you all have a good weekend. Make sure you guys subscribe to the channel first before we get going. We just hit over 500 subscribers, so keep that rolling. Hope you guys like these videos. We'll be doing much more team-specific videos, so we'll have actually a full podcast. You guys can find the full podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. But I'll be breaking up some of the content within each podcast to go on the specific channels. We have playlists for each one of the Big 12 teams. We'll add playlists for the Big 12 teams that are coming into the conference as well. All right, so the news here we're discussing is Jackson Dart, the transfer quarterback from University of Southern California, is going to be exploring a few options, at least right now. Two of them are in the Big 12. The three options that we've heard at the moment are Oklahoma, TCU, and Ole Miss. And so before we get to those three, let's kind of back up a little bit here. The word is that Jackson Dart, when Lincoln Riley took over, and kind of the sentiment too, was that Dart was maybe going to be the guy as the starter. Kind of felt like that was maybe the situation. A lot of promise. People liked what they saw from Jackson Dart. I like what I saw from Jackson Dart very early on from him. He's just 18 years old too. He turns 19 this coming May, so still a really young guy. Played the first this season, ends up with over 1,300 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and really ended up coming in when Keaton Slovis, with his inconsistent plays and injuries and whatnot, ends up being Jackson Dart, who was the guy for them kind of moving forward. Had a pretty decent season, but obviously a lot to be desired, you know, with his youth and with the USC performance. And so I think there was some ideas maybe, yeah, he'd be the guy moving forward, but once it became clear that the Caleb Williams stuff kind of crystallized and it looked like he was going to hit the portal, eventually did hit the portal, and now the growing sentiments from everybody else, kind of people cover college football, is that Caleb Williams is going to land at USC. It's just a matter of time until he does. Jackson Dart, you know, jumps in the portal and begins to explore other options. And when he does that, you know, Graham Harrell, not jumped in the portal, but Graham Harrell took the job over at West Virginia as their new offensive coordinator. So there have been some ideas, hey, maybe does Jackson Dart end up at West Virginia? But now we've got the report that he is once again going to visit 3 News. And on 3's Gary Hamilton reported Thursday that Dart will visit, once again, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, and TCU. And I think actually he's visiting Oklahoma today. I think Brandon Marcellus said that yesterday. And so let's begin there with the idea of Jackson Dart at Oklahoma. It is a complicated one. For Oklahoma, your goal should be to accumulate as much talent as possible, right? I know Oklahoma fans have already seen that Dylan Gabriel's their quarterback, and maybe some of them are like, you know what, let's just kind of get Gabriel in there. Let's have him be the guy. Let's see what Jeff Lebby can do with him. Obviously, have a good relationship from the UCF days for both of those two. So, you know, let's just kind of foster that and see where that goes. But I think if you're Brent Venables and if you're Jeff Lebby too, your goal is to acquire as much talent as possible, right? You want to see how many talented players you can get on your roster. And so I know they have the Evers kid coming in. They've had a couple other guys move in. They got some walk-ons, at least one walk-on I know. And they've got Gabriel. And now when you bring in a guy like a Jackson Dart, former 4-star who performed pretty admirably for being an 18-year-old kid playing in his first season, you then kind of think, okay, this is you're kind of reestablishing the power. Caleb Williams is special. He might be a pretty special case, special player. I think the people who are like, you know what, I'd rather have a Dylan Gabriel Look at the Texas, or look at, excuse me, look at the Baylor game. Look at the second half and at times, you know, against Kansas. And then also look at the second half against Oklahoma State, right? I know we actually played pretty well in that, but they did have some issues going up against an Oklahoma State defense in the second half of that game. So, you know, he's not an infallible player. But to me, I mean, Caleb Williams is a star, and everybody kind of evaluates him, thinks that he might be a very special individual, somebody who's got some real potential. And that goal of being the first round, number one overall pick that his dad and he set out for in the beginning, that might be a very achievable, attainable goal. I mean, and rarely do you see a case where somebody's like, I want to be number one. And it actually, you know, works out like that. I mean, it takes a certain level of talent to get to that point. As I'm sorry, I'm fidgeting with the hair. It doesn't look great. Just got out of the shower. Friday gym session. So got to get the hair all straight here. But yeah, so you're starting to think, you know, the people who are saying that, like, I'd rather have Caleb Williams 100 times out of 100. Now, I will say there is a aspect of Caleb Williams moving on that feels like you're moving on from the whole Lincoln Riley scenario. And I know that entire situation felt, you know, it felt, it's been an annoyance. It's been difficult for Oklahoma fans to accept it. And they're still angry about it. I know John Williams has told us, he's like, you know what? I want to be angry. I'm angry in private, but I'm trying in public not to be angry. I think a lot of Oklahoma fans share those feelings, right? They want to move on. So Dylan Gabriel coming in does, I think, help them move on in that way. It helps Oklahoma fans move on, helps the program move on. So I get from a mental state, once Lincoln Riley moves on, you want that, you know, you're kind of ready to move on, but you prefer to have Caleb Williams. That being said, Dylan Gabriel's an excellent option. And there's some of you probably out there who are like, okay, Gabriel's a guy, let's get it, let's go, let's get after it. He and Levy have a great relationship. But once again, as I said, Venable's goal should be to accumulate and pile up as much talent as possible, and competition will be good. Now, for Jackson Dart, I don't know if that's the best situation. Here's why. Look at Gabriel's numbers. I know it was at a G5 level, but he is a guy that's got, I think it's 3 years of eligibility left. I talked about this before, but has piled up some pretty gaudy numbers and has a lot of experience. He gets back his COVID year. And then this year was difficult for him because of the injuries that he suffered, but he only played in 3 games and then was done for the rest of the year. But this is a guy that in 3 seasons has totaled up 70 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, had a year where he had 32 touchdowns and only 4 picks. And, you know, it seemed to be getting better as he goes along. And also a decent rushing threat as well. This is a guy who's got a pretty proven track record as a starting quarterback, albeit at the group of 5 level. So now you turn your attention and you move forward here, you know, for him to Oklahoma. Let's see how he takes that step up. But if you're comparing him to Jackson Dart, you could argue probably has the higher upside, 6'3", 215, you know, young kid, just 18 years old, has got some experience in that freshman year, has got obviously plenty of eligibility left, and could be, you know, a guy who's better than Dylan Gabriel. But right now, I think it's a transitional quarterback, and he's far above that. He's a very good player. But like, as a transition goes, having an offensive coordinator who's familiar with the quarterback and a quarterback who's got tons of experience, I think it's a pretty good marriage right there. I think Dylan Gabriel should be the guy, but you know, credit to Venables for trying to stack talent. All right, quick break here, and we'll talk about the TCU situation as well, and whether that could be one that ends up being tenable for both sides. Today's show was brought to you all by Get Upside. You guys go to Get Upside today. It's a new app. It'll help you guys save at the pump. You guys use the promo code SCORE. You can save up to 50 cents per gallon your first time at the pump using this. And then moving on from that, you can save up to 25 cents per gallon using that Get Upside app today. Once again, promo code SCORE, SCORE. Today's show is also brought to you by betonline.ag. You go to betonline.ag today. When you use the promo code Locked On, that's LOCKEDON, Locked On, you'll receive a 50% deposit bonus. If you deposit $100, they give you an extra 50 to play with today at betonline.ag. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, so the second place that Jackson Dart, in the Big 12 at least, is interested in reportedly is TCU. I'm not sure if he's visited yet or if he's going to take the visit, but Sonny Dykes is coming in as the new head coach. Now, a part of that too is that we saw Chandler Morris, you know, people are kind of acting like Chandler Morris has a shot to start there next year. I think Duggan has kind of entrenched himself as the starter. Max Duggan has started 29 games over the past three seasons, but we think that Dykes is going to make this an open quarterback competition. And also, the thing about Max Duggan is part of his value is his ability to use his feet. And so when you think about that and you think and you square that with the kind of offense that we know Sonny Dykes likes to use, kind of this run and shoot offense, or not run and shoot, but he likes to throw the ball around, really. That's kind of what I'm trying to say here. I actually did do a good bit of running last season too. Ulysses Grant was I think it was his name. What the hell was the name of the running back they had? Ulysses, whatever the hell it was. I might be just confusing him. But they did a great job running the football last year, SMU did. And so I'm wondering how much of that's going to be at TCU. You also have to factor in the situation now with them at running back with Zach Evans, who is now at Ole Miss, which we'll get to here in just a second. But with Zach Evans at Ole Miss, that creates a situation where that could be pretty tenable. But you also now wonder how much is TCU really interested in running the football? Is that something that they want to do right off the bat? Is do they want to run the football as much as they were with as much as they were beforehand with Zach Evans? So I think that creates a pretty interesting situation there. I think Sonny Dykes is going to want to throw the football more. So I think Jackson Dart might be the kind of guy that they're looking for, and that might be a kind of player they want. Now, we know that Chandler Morris threw the football around a lot against Baylor, and that was a really fun upset that ended up pretty crazy. But the situation there at quarterback, to me, I feel like Max Duggan's a guy who can help you transition from the current group of players that you have to the next group that you bring in. That's a guy, if you can get Max Duggan to buy in what you're doing, he'll get other guys to buy in to what you're trying to do too. So I think that could be a good situation. But Jackson Dart coming in, you're saying, look, you know, we're going to make this open competition. You're going to have your shot, but you're probably going to be the guy in the future. If you don't start this year, you're probably going to start next year. I think that is a reasonable situation for TCU to have, reasonable expectations for them to have. But I think they'd be over the moon happy with Jackson Dart. And I think even if they get him, that does not necessarily mean he needs to start. And that brings up kind of something I haven't hit on yet. Is Jackson Dart looking to start immediately? Because if you factor in the Oklahoma situation, maybe he doesn't mind going and sitting there. Maybe they're thinking, hey, look, we'll put Dylan Gabriel in the NFL next year after a great season, and you can learn for a year, and you'll have Jeff Lebby the next season as your quarterback. Well, can Sonny Dykes sell that potentially to Jackson Dart and say, hey, look, you'll come in, you'll have a shot at the starting job. If you don't start, you're going to be the guy next year. You're still just 18 years old. You'll be 19 in spring practice. And, you know, there's a chance that this year, you know, we can redshirt you. There's no way he's redshirted. He's 18 years old. There is a way that you could basically what you could do with Jackson Dart is say, we'll redshirt you if we need you to come in and play, or we can use you some, or if we bench Duggan, or if there's an injury, you'll get some PT. And then following that, you'll be ready to go for the next season with a large complement of eligibility. Still good at least 2 years in that situation, good to go. Or if you keep that redshirt, he'll have the full three. So I think that makes that a good situation. We saw the way Tanner Mordecai flourished under the offense at Oklahoma, the transfer guy that Sonny Dykes got, and he did excellent things for SMU this past season. So yeah, I think there is a very good chance that TCU makes sense and can make a pretty strong pitch to Jackson Dart. The last one we'll touch on here before we get out of here is Ole Miss. And I think Ole Miss is interesting because we've seen Luke Altmyer. I'm not sure what they're bringing in terms of quarterbacks behind him. Ulysses Grant. Ulysses Grant is the quarter. Looking at this now, Ulysses Grant was the president. Ulysses Bentley IV was the running back. I didn't know if he was named after the president or not. But anyway, yeah, back to the Ole Miss thing. I know there's no more Jeff Lebby, but still, Lane Kiffin is a really good coach, and they're coming off a great season. Luke Altmyer, to me, is going to have a shot to be the starting quarterback. I think it's guaranteed, and I think a guy like Jackson Dart, with the amount of talent that he has, definitely makes an interesting case here for why he could be at Ole Miss. But to me, you know, I want to see as much talent as possible in the Big 12 conference. So if I had to pick, I would hope he picks TCU. And the reason I hope he picks TCU is because, you know, I'm glad Oklahoma's got a good quarterback. I just want to see more of that talent spread amongst the conference. But I think all three could be good situations. I think the least likely starting spot for him would be number one, Oklahoma. I think it's the least likely for him to start. I think the number two most likely spot for him to start would be TCU. I think it's an open competition, and I wouldn't be surprised if, because of Sonny Dyke's offense, the way he likes to run it, that he would go with a guy like Jackson Dart. And then three, you know, I think the situation where he's most likely to start for sure is Ole Miss. I think it's a pretty open competition. I think it's a competition that he's got a good shot to win. And he's not going up against guys who have tons and tons of experience. Gabriel and Duggan, while they might not be the talents that Dart is, they are guys with experience that, you know, for Duggan's case, I mentioned he knows the roster. And then you flip over. For the case for Gabriel, he knows the coach, right? So he knows Jeff Lebby. So those kind of seem like links that give those guys a one up. So if he wants to start immediately, Ole Miss, I don't know if it's the best situation for him. We know that Lane Kiffin is always putting his name out there for other jobs. So how long he'll be with Lane is a big question. But I do think for the kind of solidarity, almost, you know, the kind of ground under your feet situation, TCU and Oklahoma seem better to me. But if once again, the immediate starting factor at Ole Miss, that's kind of where I think he goes. I think Ole Miss to me seems like the favorite. It seems like the most logical because of that. And that's why I lean that way, because he wants to play. And I think that's what he's looking for, right? Because he just played at USC and thought he might have a chance to play again under Lincoln Riley. So I think he's wanting a chance to A, compete, and B, play. I think he's looking for a job where he gets in, and Ole Miss to me makes the most sense. Once again, if I had my druthers, I'd pick TCU, but that's, you know, hey, if the kid doesn't pick your school, y'all know the rules here. Do not get angry at the kid. We don't do that. We don't do that kind of shit here. We don't tolerate that. We don't suffer fools lightly in that. All right. One more quick word from our sponsors, and then we're going to hit on Caleb Williams real fast before we get out of here. Today's show is brought to you all by Built Bar. Go to built.com today. That's built.com. When you guys do, use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off all the Built Bars today. Built Bars can be a great part of any New Year's resolution. Trying to get in shape, trying to eat healthier, well, replace the candy bar with a Built Bar. It's just as good, and some of them are honestly better than candy bars, and they're definitely better for you. They're packed with protein, they're low in sugar, they're low in carbs, and they're covered in chocolate. So they're good for you, and they're very delicious. Check out the collection of Built Bars today at built.com. Once again, that is built.com today. All right, last thing we're going to touch on here is Caleb Williams. A majority of people think it's going to be USC. I just think it's a matter of time. I know he visited with UCLA, but you got to think Chip Kelly right now does not have a contract. At least yesterday, Chip Kelly did not have a contract extension done. So as much as the UCLA expects Chip Kelly to sign new contracts soon, but it's not done yet, right? It's not done yet. So that might have been a tougher sell there. I just think that the Williams family is trying to get the best deal and best situation for Caleb, and I don't blame them for that. I know some conversation about, you know, his dad and the way his dad has kind of driven this entire process. I know that's been definitely debated and talked about, and you know, it's not for me to say how they should make decisions. But I think at this point, it's pretty safe to say that all signs are pointing to USC. There was a chance that he might keep visiting other programs, but I just think they're trying to milk this process for all it's worth and get every dollar out of it. I know, I think it's Carl Williams' dad, had some lofty expectations and goals in terms of business targets. I don't know if they'll hit those, but I think he's got a really good chance to go number one. Now, there are some schools that probably offer better chances to go number one than USC, considering the state of their roster. But once again, he's such a transcendent player and transcendent talent. He's got a great coach in Lincoln Riley that I don't think the concern about the situation is too considerable. I think he'll be, at least for me, I think he'll be okay anyway, anywhere he goes. Also news at DTR, Dorian Thompson Robinson is going to be returning to UCLA for another year. You know, kind of makes the UCLA situation a bit more clear, right? We think Chip's back. We think DTR's back. We know Dylan Gabriel's not committed there. He is out. So kind of all systems go on that front. We'll see if any other powers come up, big time powers, to make a play at young Caleb. But I think still signs are pointing towards USC. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @JoshNeighbors_. You can find the show at @LOBig12 as well on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Leave those comments as well. Give us the thumbs up. I always enjoy engaging with you all. You guys give me a lot of inspiration and stuff. Not like, you know, I'm inspired by you all. I am. But you guys give me inspiration and whatnot for the show. Some of the comments and some of the things you guys say and debate back and forth, it kind of, you know, makes me know what kind of content you guys like, and always recommendations and you know, constructive criticism are always accepted as well too. So make sure you guys subscribe, download, like, leave comments. Let me know what you guys like, what you don't like, and more. All right. That will do it for today's show. Once again, Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. As always, until next time, stay safe.